Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven when we die. Christ has given believers many wonderful gifts that accompany that salvation. Today, we take inventory of what each believer has through the work of Jesus. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we begin a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk about gift number one, the gift of predestination.
Peter Dynica was a Russian evangelist who was converted here at the Moody Church before this building was built, when there was a tabernacle alongside where the church is today. He left Russia in 1898 and got on a ship and came to America. Before he left, his mother made him a bag and really a box full of food so that he'd have enough food for the journey. What she did is she took a lot of bread and she dried it so that it wouldn't rot, and that was part of it. The food was so heavy that someone else actually carried it onto the ship for him. As the voyage began, he began to look through the window to see all the people in the dining room and how wonderfully they were eating, and he'd go back to his room and he'd have his bread and his water. The sailors made fun of him and they said, you know, if you help us in the kitchen, we'll give you food. So he helped in the kitchen and got some food and basically worked for his food across the ocean. He says that it was not until the last day of the voyage he learned that three meals a day were included in the price of the ticket. I think that's the way we are as Christians. We forget the fact that he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, the Bible says, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? The intention of this series of messages is to emphasize some of those all things that come along with faith in Jesus. Sometimes we think we are spiritually poor when God says, please understand all that I have given to you in Christ. And today we're going to begin with the difficult doctrine of predestination, which means exactly what you think it means. That God predetermines what happens on earth, and he predetermined you and your salvation as a believer. You know, it's a very difficult doctrine in some regards, but what we have to do is to remember, as one person said, explain it, you might lose your mind. Explain it away, you might lose your soul. So here we are. It's a doctrine with a lot of mystery. I'm going to be scaring up a lot of rabbits that I'm not able to shoot, but at the end I am going to answer some questions that will be in your mind. There is a story about theologians who were having an argument about this, and throughout church history there have been arguments about this. So they decided to get into their various camps. Over here you have those who believed in predestination. Over here you have the people who say, we believe in free will. Well, there was a man who didn't know how to make up his mind, and so he decided to go over to the predestination crowd, and they said, why are you here? He said, I came of my own free will. They said, you don't belong here. He said, you go over there. So he went over to the free willers and they said, why are you here? He said, I was sent here. They said, you don't belong here because you're only supposed to be here by your free will. So the poor man was left in the cold. You know, before I begin this message, what I want us to do is to encourage every one of you to listen. You may be a teenager here today. Please listen. Because God may be calling your life, and you may be somewhat skeptical, and we're glad that you are here. We have diverse people watching here, of course, at the Moody Church and all over the world, and by radio and so forth. Please listen carefully. This is so important that I'm actually going to ask that we pray one more time. I want you to bow your head and let us take a moment to acknowledge God's help in this marvelous doctrine of predestination. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you might open our eyes that we might see wondrous things in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage of Scripture is Ephesians chapter 1. Years ago, I've written on this doctrine. In fact, one of my books has four chapters on it. I didn't refer to that as I was preparing this message. And then this week, I speed read a book on predestination. How do you speed read? You take passages of the book that you think are particularly applicable. But Friday morning, I decided, you know, I'm going to put all that aside. I'm just going to open the text and see what it says. So here we are. Ephesians chapter 1, that glorious passage where it says this, and for our purposes, we have to actually begin in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. That's what we intend to do in this series of messages, to isolate some of those spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Just that far for a moment. That word choose, he chose us in him, occurs 22 times in the New Testament. 7 of those times it refers to God choosing people unto life. You look at the text and you realize here that we are talking about two facts that are given to us in this verse. Fact number one is that God made the choice. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He's speaking now about those who either have believed on Christ or people who are going to believe on Christ. God chose us, and a second fact is it was done before the foundation of the world, before God spoke the stars into existence, before angels flew in the courts of heaven and were created. In eternity past, God, knowing all things, both actual and possible, chose us in Christ because it was never God's intention to save anybody apart from Christ. Just think of it this way. Obviously, redemption was part of God's plan from the very beginning, right? I mean, some people say, oh, you know, God hoped that Adam and Eve wouldn't sin, and then they messed it up, and God says, I've got a mess to clean up here. I'm going to send Jesus. Well, that was a part of his plan from before the foundation of the world. It's an expression that relates to eternity past. Now, some of us haven't been chosen for much of anything, right? I remember how difficult it was for me in grade school because whenever they were choosing teams to play softball or some other sport, I was always the last to be chosen. I was not a great athlete. And it hurts to be passed over. You may be passed over in your job. But think of this, God choosing us. Now you say, was it arbitrary? Was it like a lottery? Did God blindfold himself and say, here's a big jar with all these numbers. I'm going to go down and I'm going to see who I choose. Obviously not. Obviously not. And the reason for that is because God had to create an entire context. Where you would be born, who your parents would be. All kinds of contingencies regarding who would share the gospel with you. It was not an arbitrary choice. And you say, well, it was based on foreknowledge. God foreknew who was going to believe. Many people think that, but if you look at the word foreknowledge in the Bible, in the New Testament, it never refers to simply knowing ahead of time. It really means to forelove. Like it says in Amos, you only have I known of all the people of the earth. Of course God knows everyone. Of course God knows all things. But it wasn't based on foreseen faith. It was based on God's choice. You say, well, what was the basis upon which he did the choosing? Good question. The Apostle Paul, struggling with that in Romans chapter 9, gets to that point and basically says, I'm sure he says it kindly, and this is a paraphrase. Keep your mouth shut. That's the answer. He says, we're now at the edge of mystery, and God has not revealed that. So we have to accept that the potter has power over the clay to make one lump to honor, another to dishonor. So we stand in the sovereignty of God, and we allow God to be God, and we don't understand it all. We also know that the choice was personal. He calls his own sheep by name. Do you realize that God didn't learn a single thing about you when you arrived here on the planet Earth and were born? God didn't say, oh, I was wondering what he was going to look like. So sort of a surprise to me that he only weighs 7 pounds. I was thinking that he'd be more than that. Listen, God hasn't found out one thing about you since you arrived that he didn't know in eternity past. And he knew your name before your parents decided what to call you. He knows his sheep by name. Imagine that. You know, to know somebody by name, it's a way of honor. I know that I've disappointed many people because I'm not very good at remembering names. Some of you, God bless you, you've been so kind. I've asked your name many times. Could I just throw in a parenthesis? The reason for that is when I hear a name, I don't remember it. When I see it written, I see it in my mind's eye and I remember it more easily. But God, so what if Pastor Lutzer doesn't know your name? Sorry about that, but you're known by God from the foundation of the world. It was a personal choice. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm so excited about this series of messages titled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. I don't know about you, but I love to revel in these truths, the truth of predestination. There are many people who avoid it because it is controversial. But if we're willing to set aside some of our preconceived notions and simply listen to what the Word of God has to say, we know that we are on the precipice of mystery, and we accept that. But at the same time, the very thought that God knew about me and chose me before he created the worlds gives me a sense of excitement, joy, and the ability to become a better worshiper. And I believe that that will happen to you as well. That's why it's so important that this series, The Inheritance of the Redeemed, be yours. You can request the entire series so that you can listen to it again and again, share it with your friends. And by the way, speaking of your friends, why don't you pick up the phone right now and call someone and invite them to listen to Running to Win as we have this series of messages, The Inheritance of the Redeemed. My intention is to bless you mightily through God's Word.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Erwin Lutzer began a series on The Inheritance of the Redeemed, gifts given to every believer in Christ. Next time on Running to Win, more on the long-standing debate between Calvinists and Arminians. Make plans to join us and invite a friend to listen with you. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.